Welcome. Glad you're here. A little quick correction. That invitation we're extending to you around Lent and planting churches in Nepal, it's actually only $1 a week per person. So, yeah, oh, JP was worried he was going to have to give up a lot of cash. No, $1 a week, which, I mean, when you think about that, that's pretty straightforward. We're essentially saying $6 a person. Now, that does include everybody, you know, so babies and children and so adults, you may have to help out here a little bit. But we're not actually talking about much, and that closes the gap to allow us to fully fund a church planter for a year in Nepal. So you can ask us more about that if you have questions. But welcome to Lent, everyone. How are you feeling? Happy, sad, you know, reflective? Have you given up anything? Anyone made any changes here? This was the week to begin that. At least it was the beginning of Lent on Wednesday. You were probably all thinking about Valentine's Day, rightly so. But Lent also began on Wednesday. And we're going to have a series here through this next season called A Journey into the Wilderness. And I want to begin by diving right into the passage that is going to be our focus this week and next week, actually. It's Matthew 3, the end of that chapter, into the first part of chapter 4. And the scripture is not up here on the screen, so if you want to read along, you'll have to grab a Bible or pull it up on your phone. I think this morning I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Or you can just listen. This is Matthew 3, starting in verse 16. So after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." That's the end of chapter 3, and then without like any transition, here we go. In chapter 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. And during that time the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the tempter took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. And Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the tempter took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him. "For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the tempter went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. If you were to read the Bible from cover to cover, I think one of the things you might notice is that there's this interesting connection between mountains and wilderness, between mountaintop experiences and times in the desert. And sometimes those are metaphorical, but quite often throughout the scriptures, they're very real. They're actual geographies that are linked together. And so you have mountaintop experiences where people are called to something or to be someone. And then you have seasons of wilderness where people are faced with questions about their identity, when there are temptations whispered in their ear, and when they experience the provision of God. We just saw all of those things in the passage we read about Jesus in the wilderness. But mountain and wilderness are connected. Let me give you some examples. Abraham and Sarah are called by God. They have this calling. It's a mountaintop metaphorically. They're not actually on a mountain when they get the calling, but it's to leave their home and to go to a new land. And if you look at a map and where they're traveling to and from, you realize that the only way to get to that place that they are called to is through the wilderness. David is anointed the king as a young boy. He's anointed king of Israel. If you know his story, though, it's years until he actually becomes king. Do you know what happens in all of those years in between calling and actually becoming the person he's called to be? Do you know what happens? He lives in the wilderness. On the run, a refugee, actually, chased down by the current king, Saul. But he hides in caves for years in the wilderness. Ruth and Naomi are compelled to commit their lives to each other and to move from Moab to Bethlehem to start a new life. Look at a map again. Watch and see where they have to travel through, and you'll notice it's the uncharted, unsettled wilderness. And then, of course, you have the quintessential wilderness story. It's the people of Israel. Remember how the people of Israel become the people of Israel, or where it begins for them? It doesn't actually begin so much with them as with someone, with Moses. And where does Moses kind of first encounter this calling to deliver the people of Israel? Do you remember where that happens? It's on a mountain. There's a burning bush. And then Moses has to wrestle with his identity. But the people of Israel are finally delivered. They go to where, after they cross the Red Sea, they go to a mountain where they're given the Ten Commandments, a calling to be a certain kind of people. That's what the Ten Commandments are. It's a calling to be a certain kind of people. And after the mountain, where do they end up? In the wilderness for 40 years. Wrestling with identity, having to really face a number of temptations to be something other than what they were called, and receiving God's provision. So over and over again in the Bible, you have men and women who have to go through the wilderness in order to become the people that God is calling them to be. And Jesus is no different. Right? In the passage we read a few moments ago, what's happening at the very beginning? His baptism, which is happening in a river, not on a mountain. I get it, but it's like a mountaintop experience. It's the skies have opened and a dove has descended and the voice of God calls down and says, "This is my beloved who brings me great joy." I mean, it's this incredible moment of calling. And then immediately, at least as best we can tell, Jesus is led into the wilderness. Now, if all of these people in the Bible, including the Christ, the visible image of an invisible God, if even Jesus has to journey into the wilderness in order to become the person that he's called to be, maybe the same is true for you and I. Perhaps there's something unique and transformational about the wilderness. Now, if you're like me, you probably, between these two options, prefer the mountain. In fact, it's not all that uncommon to find folks who are trying to make their life one nonstop mountaintop experience. What can I do to always stay on top, to have clarity, elation, joy, even maybe a special sense of God's presence? How do I stay up here all the time? And I get it. I do, because I feel that pull. I've chased after that dream, still am in many ways. But the irony is that as great as the mountaintop experiences of life are, they are not usually what change us. They show us something about who God is. Sometimes they'll show us something about who we are, and those are valuable things. Like calling sometimes comes out of mountaintop seasons and experiences in life. But wilderness is where we're changed. And so we're often longing to make life one nonstop mountaintop. As we do that, though, we miss the opportunities to become shaped and transformed into the people that God calls us to be. Let me give you an example of this. You know, over the last three Sundays, we've had some guests here in worship with us. Teresa mentioned Yaakov last week. Rodrigo was here a couple of weeks prior to that. These are the two pastors of the two other churches that meet in this building. And I think we've had a good relationship with them for as long as we've all been in this space together, which is almost 3 years now. But it's really been in the last few months, I think, that something has shifted. And there's been a deepening relationship that started to happen. And as I've been thinking about why that is, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I think we're in a season of wilderness as three churches. And I want to pause here because as soon as I say that, I bet some of you are like, oh no, what's wrong? Right? We look at those two and we think mountaintop good, wilderness bad. And that just isn't, that is a false dichotomy. That is not what I'm saying or I think what the scriptures say. Both are valuable and needed. And so in the relationship of our three churches, I think we had a mountaintop experience back in October. Were you here for the combined worship experience that we had with all three of us? I think in a lot of ways, I felt in that morning that we were on holy ground. There was something really unique and beautiful and joyful about that time together. And then so interestingly, since October, I think we've been in a time of wilderness where we've been asking a lot of questions, wrestling with questions about our identities as churches. Because I think there's this calling, we all, Rodrigo, Yaakov, and I sense a calling to be more than just tenants and landlords, to be unified, to maybe even share in ministry. We have a calling that maybe is starting to become stronger. But like how we get there and what that means for each congregation, we have very little idea. And so we're in this season in which there are a lot of questions being asked. Like, I don't know, what might this mean for our congregation? What might we have to give up? How difficult is it going to be to connect and to be unified? How do we overcome language barriers? What are the different cultural expressions and understandings that we all come to, and how do we navigate those things? And it's like question after question after question. And in the midst of that, in the midst of the questions, there's also temptations. Like, oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe we should just kind of keep things as they are. You know, the temptation to maintain the status quo or to remain comfortable. You know, maybe we should, I don't, should we? It's going to be really difficult. It's going to be a lot of work. You know, or there's fear that whispers to us. What might happen? What if I try to approach somebody from the Nepali church and I totally blow it, you know, or they don't speak any English and we muddle our, and it's just a mess, you know. We have fear around that. But one of the things that also happens in the wilderness, and we can't miss this, is that in the midst of the questions and the temptations to kind of lean into our false self that come up, there's also God's provision that maybe becomes especially tangible in the wilderness. When you're wrestling, struggling, searching, asking questions about who you are, or in this example, about who we are, God shows up. And so that's happening more and more between our three churches. Rodrigo sent us an email on Friday, just sharing a need with something that's happening in their congregation. As he shared a couple of weeks ago, they have a number of immigrants, and one of their people was detained by ICE this last week. And there was already a great deal of fear in their congregation, and now it is just amped up. They are scared. They are worried for him. And so there is something, I don't know that that would have been shared 6 months ago. Not that Rodrigo wouldn't have felt comfortable, but I think there's a deepening of our relationship. There's something happening between our congregations. Because it's in the wilderness that we grow. It's in the wilderness that we experience change. And maybe that's why in this text in Matthew, it's explicitly clear that Jesus goes into the wilderness because he's led there. I don't want to imply to you that Jesus was like dragged, kicking and screaming into the wilderness. The text doesn't lead us to that conclusion. But it does tell us that the Spirit of God is playing a role in moving Jesus into this season of wilderness. So could it be that God's Spirit might play a role in bringing you into a time or a season in which you are invited to wrestle with who you are, in which you're invited to face questions of significance, to even hear the whisper of your false self, and in the midst of that challenge and that struggle and that wrestling, to also know God's provision. So Jesus is led into the wilderness, an actual wilderness. And maybe you think, gosh, if I'm going to go into the wilderness, that means that I've got to like book a ticket for Arizona and spend 40 days in the desert. And if you should do that, then do that, I guess, you know. But I actually think wilderness shows up in our everyday lives here. You know, last Thursday, at the missional community that meets in our home every week, which, by the way, anyone is invited to any Thursday for dinner and conversation. We've been having some really challenging discussions around an array of issues. We've been listening to excerpts from different podcasts and then talking about them together. And we've been talking a fair amount about race, and this last Thursday was no different. We listened to a podcast that was published not long after Charlottesville. And the people on the podcast posed some really challenging questions. And then our discussion was also quite challenging at times. And even, at least for me, I felt uncomfortable at moments because this is a really difficult and challenging thing to think through and to work through. But as I sat there that night, I thought to myself, this is a wilderness moment. Because here we are, you know, dealing with difficult questions. Remember the three things? Difficult questions and temptations to lean back into your false self, and also God's provision shows up. But all of those things were there that evening. Because when you start talking about issues of significance, race being one of them, if you're going to do it honestly, you're going to have to really wrestle with who you are. You're going to have to be willing to be asked some difficult questions that probe, and your identity is going to be challenged, and you're going to feel temptations to just hit the abort button. You know, like, abandon ship, I'm done with the conversation. And you're going to feel the temptation to maybe become defensive. You're going to hear something that's going to challenge you, and you're going to want to prove that it's wrong, that you're not that way. You're not that kind of person. And on and on it goes. So there we are in the living room on a Thursday night, and I'm thinking, this is the wilderness. And so I think when you're out with a friend for a cup of coffee and they ask you a thoughtful question, that might be an invitation to step into the wilderness. When you're practicing a spiritual discipline, or you're listening to a podcast, or you're reading a book, there are, I think, many
So I think God invites us into the wilderness. And I think sometimes the Spirit even leads us into it, because if it were up to our own selves, we wouldn't go. We'd again just really fight for that lifelong, nonstop mountaintop. And then God says, hey, there's a place over here for you to explore. There's something here for you to be honest about and to be willing to change. And it's going to take some wrestling, and it's going to require that you are humble and that you maybe let other people into your life who can challenge you or can help you see things you can't. But there's something over here for you to explore. So I think we have to come to the place of realizing that the only way to get to where we are called to go is through the wilderness. I don't think we can become the people we are called to be by trying to fly over the wilderness, boat around it, shortcut it, whatever we can. I don't think that that gets us there. I mean, when I think about the people of Israel, or I think about Jesus' wilderness journey, you get something that looks like this. It's a mountaintop, it's a calling, but then it's a season of wilderness. And yes, there is the promised land that eventually is entered into. For Jesus, it was ministry. We get to the place that we are called to go, or the people we are called to be, but the only way to get to the promised land is through the wilderness. And for Jesus and the Israelites, the wilderness was a clearly defined period of time, 40 years, 40 days. Maybe that can happen for you. You know, maybe there's a 40-day period that God is going to say, again, book the ticket to Arizona and get in the desert. Like, maybe, I don't know. But again, I think for most of us, it's not going to look like that. I think we're going to have seasons, moments, weeks, days, lunch conversations in which the wilderness kind of shows up, and we're invited to either journey into it or not. Here's the thing to remember. We'll talk more about this in the coming weeks, but when you are willing to step into the wilderness, when you're willing to be honest about the questions and about your identity, and your false self and true self, and when you're willing to even hear the temptations and to do all of that difficult, challenging work, when you are willing to step into the wilderness, God is there with you. The wilderness is not a place that you go alone. The Spirit didn't like kick Jesus into the wilderness and then say, see you in 40 days, you know, good luck. And God doesn't do that to you either. What we see here in Matthew is that Jesus is cared for while he's in the wilderness, taken care of, provided for. And the same is true for you. The Spirit is with you and will give you courage, insight, perseverance, whatever you might need to make it through that time of wilderness. God is with us. And so this morning, I want to close by inviting you to make a commitment to yourself, not to me, but to yourself, to be a person who would be willing to journey into the wilderness. I bet some of you are there right now. Some of you, as soon as I started talking about this, were like, yeah, that's me. That's my story. This season, this time, I feel it. I'm in the wilderness. Others of you might not say that you're in the wilderness, but you see it. It's like right there. You're on the edge of it, and you just haven't stepped into it yet. The questions have come up. The temptations have been whispering to you, and you've just kind of been trying to hold it off. And maybe God is inviting you this morning to step into it. Some of you are on the mountaintop today, and if you are, praise God. Like, let's celebrate that together, and let's lean into that reality. But there is no doubt that there will come a time when you'll be invited into the wilderness again. And so I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me, and it's a few screens up here. And I'm going to read the first sentence and then invite you to read the second. And your line is always the same. Jesus, we choose to walk with you. Because if Jesus was led into the wilderness and we're people who follow Jesus, then that means that we also must be willing to follow him into the wilderness. And I'm just going to pause in between each one so that we don't rush through this and just quickly read it and be done, but so that this can, in fact, be a prayer. So I'll read that line. You can write afterwards. We'll all read together, Jesus, we choose to walk with you, and then there will be a moment of silence for you to think about what that actually might mean for your life. So let me invite you to pray. I think I actually want to start here. There we go. Sometimes we feel like we're walking through wilderness.
Jesus, we choose to walk.
When our spirits feel dry, help us trust in your spirit.
Jesus, we choose to walk with you.
We can choose to worry or to trust you to provide. Temptation is everywhere, and doubts can overwhelm us. You know what it's like to walk through this desert. So, Jesus, we choose to walk with you. And you long to transform us with wilderness worship. Jesus, we choose. You know, walking requires energy, sustenance, provision. And maybe this meal can remind us of the fact that, again, in wilderness, God provides for us. Perhaps this meal can be this really tangible gift if we're doubting this morning that it's the right decision to step into wilderness, if we're uncertain of whether or not God will be with us, if we aren't sure that we'll have what we need, maybe this meal can help solidify for us, deepen our trust that God is willing to go to any length, even willing to be broken, so that we might become the people we're called to.